peace. Everyone is looking for it, but the only place you'll find true and lasting peace is right here in God's Word. Join us as we go back to God's Word on this edition of Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon. Welcome to Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. And indeed, it is abounding grace that we seek and find here in God's Word. We would invite you to join us for the next few minutes as our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, brings us back to God's Word that we might find that peace, that encouragement for the day, that challenge to follow hard after Christ. For this edition of Abounding Grace now, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for joining us on this Tuesday session of Abounding Grace, where we again take up our discussion of the new birth in John chapter 3 and the way that Jesus dealt with the great Pharisee Nicodemus. Most of us know this account very well. And Jesus there made a very amazing statement in John chapter 3, verse 3. He said to Nicodemus, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." We broke that down a bit yesterday. It literally translates born from above. Unless one is born from above, he cannot see, he cannot literally perceive the kingdom of God. So this is a very important statement that every Christian should be very in tune to listen to and understand what it means, because Jesus spoke of its absolute necessity. This must happen if one is to be saved. So what does it mean then? This is what we began to unpack yesterday. What does it mean to become born again? How then do I become born again? There's all this confusion surrounding this little phrase, born again. How does it occur? What do I need to do? These are all the questions that arise. Well, before we answer that, I said yesterday, we need to understand that, was especially as gospel ministers, if any of our ministers listening out there, the way that we give the gospel must be very simple, clear, and straightforward. The call of the gospel is very simple. Repent and believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. This is what Jesus did when he started his ministry, of course, when he went around to the multitudes. Repent and believe, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That is a sincere, that is a serious call given to everyone to turn from their sins and trust in Jesus as the only mediator that God has provided by which a sinner can come and have life. And his arms are, remember when he said, open, if you will, he said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If there's anyone today who does not believe or is living in sin, that's the call. Repent and turn and trust in Jesus for alone for your salvation. Believe in the promises of the gospel and you will emphatically be saved. Clear and straightforward. Sincerely. When I give the call to someone, that's where I start. Come, believe. Everyone is commanded to repent and believe, to receive this gift of God with a believing heart. We give that call. Now, here's what I'm getting at. Before we can do any of that, before we can turn from our sins in true repentance, before we can embrace Jesus in true and saving faith and answer that call, we must understand that something else needs to happen first. This is what Jesus was saying. Look, Nicodemus, this needs to happen first. And this is so crucial. When we're asking the question, how are we born again? That is an entirely different question than what we subjectively experience when we turn from our sins and believe in Jesus and bring forth fruits in our lives. So the new birth question is the question that precedes everything that you and I experience in our lives. It has to. The new birth goes hand in hand with what we call regeneration. That is when the Holy Spirit renews the human heart, making it alive, implanting the principle of a new spiritual life into fallen man. And it is a regenerated heart that will begin to bring forth this new life. But what's happened in our day is that one's conversion experience, namely faith and repentance, are often spoke of as the thing that brings about regeneration. Simply said, if I decide to believe in Jesus and express faith in him, if he makes his case good enough for me that I decide to believe it, that will bring about this change of my life. We hear this all the time. So at the end of the day, we're left with the impression that our faith has some inherent value that leads to our regeneration and our salvation. And so everything that God offers is then subservient to my own will and my own faith. I am exalted at the end of the day over the whole process because it all is dependent and hinges upon my choice. But in light of our text, and this is what I want you to consider today, because most people probably listening today have been indoctrinated into that system. But in light of our text today, if we rightly understand this text, that is absolutely impossible. We have to understand the nature of the new birth. The confusion today has surfaced in a misunderstanding of how one is born again, how one comes to be able to repent and believe and express saving faith in Jesus. In the original phrase, this phrase born again is the single word again can be translated born from above. The word can equally take on this meaning. In fact, every other time in the Gospel of John it's used, it takes on that meaning, born from above. And I submit to you today that if you have a faulty view of sin and do not properly understand what we have inherited in the sin of Adam, that because of that we are born receiving a corrupt nature and totally depraved, you will not understand how we are able to be born again. You see, after the fall, if you remember, the entire human race had the sin of Adam imputed to them. He was our federal head. The result was spiritual death. And I want you to think about that word for a moment, death. When something dies, it has no life whatsoever. I used to have a turtle that died when I was a kid. And that turtle, once it was dead, I put him on the floor. I didn't know he was dead. And I pushed him and he just wouldn't move. The fact is he was dead. And so God characterizes the entire human race that way, spiritually dead. Notice Ephesians 2 says that. And you who were what? Alive in your trespasses? No, dead in your trespasses and sins. Unable to respond in our own power to his call. If you remember back to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, the Lord showed Ezekiel a great valley that was full of dry bones. And the only way those bones could live was if Ezekiel would prophesy the word of God to them. Remember that. Go back and read Ezekiel 37. The Lord showed him a dry valley and all these bones were walking around. The problem was they were all dead. This was God's view of the human race after the fall. Dead bones, spiritually dead human beings as Lazarus lying in the tomb. Again, Ephesians 2, and you who were dead in your trespasses and sins. And so understanding the spiritual death that occurred at the fall is essential in our understanding of what Jesus is saying here, of why we need to be born again or born from above. And this is why your doctrine of sin really is everything. So many evangelical Christians today don't even believe that we're totally depraved. They deny that. Well, then this passage today in Jesus is saying in John 3 will take on very little meaning for you. You're going to be able to see that you can do this in your own power. But if you're dead, you're going to recognize Jesus is saying something he needs to do because you can't do it. So understanding the spiritual death that occurred at the fall is absolutely essential in our understanding of why we need to be born from above. Jesus addresses Nicodemus, a quite religious man, if you will. And he tells him something, as one pastor said, that must have sounded like a riddle. Unless you're born again, born from above, you cannot enter the kingdom of God, Nicodemus. You see, Jesus is pointing out to Nicodemus the same thing Ezekiel realized. If there needs to be a rebirth, then that means that there has been a spiritual death. Man spiritually died at the fall. And according to 1 Corinthians 2:16, it's impossible for someone to receive or accept the things of God if they remained in this dead state. Here it seems as if we've come to a paradox. Man needs to be born again. He needs to be converted and therefore is called to repent and believe and trust in Jesus alone for salvation. But he's spiritually dead, unable to answer. Now that's a problem. Romans 3 makes this all the more clear. No one seeks after God. They have all turned aside. There's none who does good. No, not one. So anyone has to deal with the statement of Romans 3. No one seeks after God. What do we do with that? But in John 1, Both in John 1 and Romans 9 tell us salvation, the whole thing, is not of him who wills, but of God who shows mercy. And according to Romans 2:4, we know that we cannot even repent on our own. Why? Because the whole human race is spiritually dead. You see, after the fall, the human will is completely driven by its sinful nature and only chooses things belonging to that nature. Spiritual death is the reason why there is such a necessity, says Jesus, for a new birth. If one is not born again or born from above, they will forever be lost and suffer eternal condemnation because they are sinners, in offending a holy God. So the problem today is that the whole concept of being born again has been turned into a sort of human work, a sort of decision-making regeneration. And when I say that, for instance, the book How to Be Born Again, written by Billy Graham, that confuses regeneration and conversion. See, the issue is more of how then do I be converted? Well, you repent and believe, and that's what we tell sinners to do. But regeneration is something that is God's act. Regeneration is the act, or the new birth is where the Holy Spirit implants life in the heart, making it alive so that it can respond in true faith, believing in Jesus and receiving his righteousness by faith alone. But when God's act of regeneration or the new birth is confused with one's conversion experience, well, what that means is that then people view the whole salvation process or the whole notion of salvation is something they can do in their own power. And that's why the confusion lies today with what it means to be born again. We need to go back and praise the Lord today for changing our dead hearts and making them alive. If you've responded to the gospel today, it's evidence of God's sovereign working in your heart to receive the gospel, to change your heart through his Spirit so that you would hear his calls and turn from your sins and live. That's a reason to rejoice today, because the Holy Spirit has been powerful in your life, changing you and bringing you life in the beloved Son, Jesus Christ.
Exercising our minds, hearts, and affections towards Christ. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden, studying God's Word that we might show ourselves approved. Thank you for joining us. As always, we leave you with our address and phone number if you'd like to contact us. Maybe you have a question, comment about the broadcast. Maybe you'd like to join us for worship or a prayer request. Again, you can reach us at 360-318-0429. Again, that phone number is 360-318-0429. If you'd like to know more about us, you can visit our website. A lot of information there, lindenurc.com. Again, that's lindenurc.com. As always, you're welcome to write, 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And again, that phone number, 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. If you're planning a visit, we would love to see you. In fact, let one of the ushers know you're invited by the radio broadcast, won't you? That would encourage us a great deal. Sunday services are at 10 a.m. and again at 7 p.m. We're at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden. For the directions, you can either go to our website, lindenurc.com, or call us, 360-318-0429. Again, 360-318-0429. Our desire here at Abounding Grace is that you grow in Christ. If there's anything we can do to help you in that endeavor, please feel free to contact us. And then join us again next time for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.